Pass Radio, America's weekly motorcycle talk show.
I got me a date with some of the motocrossers up around the way.
Your source for weekly updates on what's happening in the world of motorcycle racing.
You know how fast you're going?
Industry news, trends, the people involved.
I'm Ricky Carmichael.
This is Kevin Schwant.
This is Josh Teemeth.
This is Kelly Smith.
This is Travis Latron.
This is Jeremy McGrath.
Hello again, now, everybody. This is Pit Pass Radio. So excited to get on the mic, and I couldn't even help it, but I got to tell you, we are happy to be on the air. It is Pit Pass Motor Racing Weekly. Scott Casper, Tony Wink, PJ Duran, Roman Avila with yet another week off at Coolin Camp preparing the script as always. Thank you, Eddie. Chris Bishop and Tommy Boy Halverson contributing to the program as always. Jack and Leanne De Leon producing this program both online and terrestrial as well. Thank you, Jack. Thank you, Leanne. Tony, who are the guests on the program before we get to breaking news?
We're going to start with Jared Mees, who is on the phone waiting for us to talk with him. Also, big news out of AFT, so it'll be interesting to talk to Jared Mees. Also, Davis Fisher, who's an AMA Pro Flat Track racer, won the GNC2 championship in 15. So he joined Richie Morris Racing in 2018 and finished season in ninth place. Three top five finishes in the year, and including a fourth place finish at the Springfield Mile, which I was at that race too. So I was less involved. I was more of the watching than the racing, which is much different. But Davis Fisher is going to be on. Also, Ted Weirbach, Weirbach Racing.
Sure.
Of course, very famous name there in flat track. Josh Hayes is going to be on hour number two, who is a multi-time AMA Superbike champion, and as is Andy DeBrino, who is he won the Super Hooligan National Championship, which is wildly popular. So he also has raced the AFT singles at the Buffalo Chip, and he's pretty very talented rider. So we've got a pretty good lot of flat track and a road racer that's probably pretty good at flat tracking.
Right now, I think talking about flat track's not a bad idea, given all the heat that's behind it right now. A lot of success. It's garnering a lot of attention across the industry. Let's go to PJ Duran for breaking news. PJ?
Well, the biggest of the breaking news is, although not 100% official, it looks as though Josh Herron either has or will be signing a two-year deal with Yoshimura to be partnered with Tony Elias on the Yosh Moto America team. The other far more sad news is the untimely demise of the Tenkaté team in World Superbike and their partnership with Honda. They have been a long-standing team and a quality team within the World Superbike paddock, and they have unfortunately announced bankruptcy and no longer will be partnering with Honda, which leaves a huge hole in the World Superbike paddock, I have to believe, for next year. It'll be interesting to see what happens. We'll keep you up to date on this program.
Of course, we talked with Danny Walker and the demise of his relationship with Honda. And I talked to Danny just earlier this week. Actually, it was late last week. And he said, well, don't be surprised that there's other news to follow. And that leaves me scratching my head just a bit.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think we're going to see any good news in regards to the Road Racing Factory, as they have also announced that they will not be racing in this upcoming Moto America 2019 season.
I wonder how this relates to sales and interest in the product line.
That is a good question for bigger brains than mine, I think, Scott.
All right. Also, as announced earlier this year, the Honda's HRC had landed a deal with Kobe Bryant's Art of Sport, a brand new body care products line for athletes that includes both deodorant and soap. Well, it was released recently that Ken Roczen posted on Instagram that he's partnered with Clinique for Men on the launch of the brand new Super Energizer skincare collection. Are we seeing the dawn of a new age of product from outside the industry coming inside to attack it in a different way? PJ, your thoughts?
I think so. Tony, you probably got some insight. I mean, we've seen some other outside industry people, Broster Chicken being one of them. Unfortunately, we're just talking about that team going away.
I think that the motorcycle industry, racing in general, can't get their head out of their ass, and I don't think that they're going to. I don't think this is any big deal. I think that this is the handiwork of a very good talent agent,
right,
for Ken Roczen, that he brought a deal together with HRC. And as badly as I wish to agree with what you're saying, Scott, I wish that was the truth, but I don't think it is.
Well,
I think
two in a row.
You see it as a one-off for a supermodel of a guy.
I mean, you see, he is good looking.
Wow, there it is.
I wish he was here, I could tell him in person.
Let me tell you what is glaringly evident and nobody's talking about for the most part, and that is Ken Roczen was one of those that adopted early the idea of social media as being a powerful tool. Ken Roczen with about 1,200,000 followers, and that's perhaps one of the things that makes the brand that is Ken Roczen so interesting to the brands outside of traditional motorcycle racing of any kind. Agree or disagree?
Absolutely agree. I mean, the man obviously knows how to market himself, which makes it easier to sell him to any potential sponsor.
He's not my type, but I will say this, that all the girls around the campfire at my racetrack at night, they get giggly over Ken Roczen.
And so, in closing with this topic, I will just read his most recent Instagram post, and it said, Ken Roczen, 94, amped to partner with Clinique for Men on the launch of their new Super Energizer skincare collection. You can check it out at hashtag Clinique for Men and Super Energizer, hashtag Super Energizer. All right, with that, let's go to Jared Mees, our very first guest on this particular program. Jared, how are you?
Good, guys. How you guys doing?
Good. You've been around the industry for years and years and years, well-schooled on the art of selling yourself and your accomplishments to potential sponsors of all kinds. What are your thoughts on what Ken Roczen has done and what Honda HRC has done as far as going outside the industry and landing people like Kobe Bryant's Art of Sport designer fragrance and deodorant and soap lines? What are your thoughts?
I mean, I think it's awesome that, you know, right now in the motorcycle industry, it's hurting. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You look at the stock of, you know, Harley-Davidson and the stock of, you know, a lot of motorcycle industry, and just knowing everybody inside the motorcycle industry and where sales are at. And, you know, it was unfortunate what happened to the Mag Group earlier this year.
Right.
You know, with sales and whatnot, like I said, are down. So I think anytime you can bring outside industry sponsorship into motorcycle industry is a benefit, and it makes more brand awareness. And I think it's awesome. I mean, however way you can get it done, you get it done. And it's good to see that they brought somebody outside the industry inside of it. So hopefully it opens more doors. I mean, hopefully,
right,
you know, other skincare companies look at it and want to go and partner with somebody that's a competitor of theirs and kind of opens the door like that. So that's kind of what happened with the energy drink companies years ago, and now, you know, a lot of big teams are accompanied by energy drinks. So, you know, maybe the next thing's going to be skin cream. I don't know.
Hey, we get Avon in there. I say you give him the first phone call, Jared. You're a longstanding number one finisher. That'd be your guy,
Jared Mees.
I was thinking CoverGirl.
Even better.
Maybe he's born with it. Maybe it's Maybelline.
What about Charlie? There's a
that's so Jared, the big news of late in AFT certainly is, I would say, some of the bigger news. Your two new teammates, the brothers Bauman. What do you think? And you stoked to have some fresh, or let's say fresher, younger blood on the team?
Yeah, I am. Breyer and I have been pretty tight over the last few years. He came down last winter to Florida here and trained with me through the winter. And, you know, he's kind of been like a little younger brother for me anyway, you know, someone that, try to mentor and give good advice to and kind of bouncing things off of. And, you know, he killed it pretty much from the second part of this of 2018 on. And then his brother, Bronson, filled in for, Brad Baker when Brad was injured. So, you know, I think when it came time to pick in a couple riders, I think no doubt it was going to be hard to not pick Breyer Bauman, just because of him being young and how good he did at the end of the year. And, you know, he was really strong. And then his brother filled in and did a great job for Indian Motorcycle and the brand. So I think it's a good fit. You know, I think for Indian, it's awesome because they picked two younger guys and you know, could possibly have a really good long, consistent future with them. So I think it's good.
I don't want to let this interview get away with us without congratulating you
right
on an incredible season
again.
Yeah, man, thanks a lot. I appreciate that.
Does it ever get old,
Jared? You're the man, by the way. You are the man.
No doubt about it.
It never gets old. It never gets old. Never gets old being, you know, winning and doing well and
being number one.
And being number one, yeah, exactly. Never gets old. I mean, it's what we train hard to do, and that's what we focus on. So it never gets old being successful.
10 wins, 15 podium finishes, Tony. That's more than you have in your entire career.
Well, in the AFT, it is.
Yeah, actually, last year we were 17 podiums and 10 wins, but the domination at the beginning of the year this year was a lot stronger than last year. Last year, we were a little stronger on the second half. You know, season for season, they were very, very similar and close. You know, it's hard to say. I mean, I felt we definitely clinched the championship a lot earlier this year than last year, so I guess at the end of the day, this year was a little bit more successful.
Jared, without hopefully getting anyone's back up too much, the other big news from AFT certainly in the past week or two has been the announcement of the 2019 racing regulations.
Oh yeah.
We discussed them briefly last week. I think we, Tony and I, had some counterpoints, but in the long run, or in the short run, let's say, AFT, in my estimation, hopefully this is fair, has done nothing to slow down Indian, the progress or the work that you guys have done. What they have done, and is essentially a fact, is they've opened up some competition standards for competitors of Indian that are not directly applicable to Indian. I assume you have feelings on this, and the question is, how strong are they? Do you see this as a big handicap? I can't imagine you do. You guys are the class of the field currently, and I know your program will be as good as it's ever been.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, trying not to suck up the whole clock on this. Basically, the way American Flat Track did it was essentially, okay, we're going to leave the Indian motorcycle alone, but then we're going to allow everybody else to go up to 900 cc's in engine displacement and up to 40 millimeters in throttle body size, which is basically a plus 2 millimeter. So it kind of was a little bit of a double whammy before. The way the rules were wrote, which doesn't really make any sense, is this: if your motorcycle started underneath 750 cc, it had to remain maximum of 750 cc. For example, if you ran a 650 Kawasaki, you could take it up to a 750, but that was the max. If your motorcycle started at 751, you were allowed to bore and stroke it from 751 all the way up to 1,000. So it really didn't make any sense. So now they tried to make it a little bit more sense, where everybody's allowed to run a 900 and everybody's allowed to run a 40 millimeter throttle body, but the Indian.
And to just add a little more clarity for our listeners, we did discuss this specifically. The difference is AFT saying if that motor started life as a street legal road going machine, you get these two concessions that you're talking about, correct, Jared? Whereas a race developed machine does not get those concessions.
Yes, correct. And there was also a race only engine that was on the list 2018 that had aftermarket pieces that made it a race-only engine. It was aftermarket pieces that were put on a production engine and was considered race-only engine. That engine, from what I was told, is now being granted production engine and is allowed now to go to 940 millimeter throttle bodies. Basically, this engine last year was a race engine, and now this engine's a production engine, just basically because we're making that rule. That's it. Boom, done. That's another thing that right now is on the political side of things. It's a little on the screwed up side. Is, okay, how does 1 year it be called the race-only engine, and then the next year it's automatically a production engine? Why? How? So that's what everybody's kind of scratching their head about. The other thing is it's funny that people want to start talking about race engines and production engines and all this stuff. In flat track, you're allowed to take a 650 Kawasaki, bore and stroke at the 750, do anything you want to the crankshaft, do anything you want with valve size, cylinder head flow, valve spring, cams, pistons, whatever you want. You basically can take the engine, turn it upside down, dump everything out that's inside of it, and completely start over, as long as you ran the homologated cases, cylinder heads, and cylinders. And if you wanted to run something that is aftermarket, you basically were allowed to do it as long as it was available and it was relatively in a good price range. Kind of like what Vance and Hines did with their motorcycle. They ran aftermarket cylinder heads, meaning they ran their own custom cylinder heads. So essentially, you want to talk race-only engine, you're taking a production engine and making a race-only engine because you can do whatever you want to inside of it. So the other thing was is that the Indian motorcycle was the only motorcycle that was a race-only engine/motorcycle, but it was production-made, meaning you could go to an Indian dealership, buy that motorcycle for $40,000 or $50,000, depending on what kind of deal you got, and walk out with the title and the motorcycle, and you could take it straight to the racetrack that weekend and put it on the front row.
Right.
And it has, and it was done this year. You can, when you talk to Davis Fisher in a little bit, you can basically ask him that same exact question. When he went to Calistoga, he fast qualified it. He took the bike that basically came to him, rolled it in his garage, put his suspension, I believe, on it, number plates, and I believe he fast qualified Calistoga. So that's the other argument is, like, these guys went out and not only provided a really good race motorcycle, race engine, but complete race motorcycle to everybody, too. So it's a little bit of a bitter thing that they spent a lot of time and money and effort and came in with their guns loaded and did what every manufacturer would have loved to do, which go into a sport and dominate and do well. They did it. And now, because of that, they're getting a little bit of repercussion over it. You know, that's, yeah, okay, you could say we're not doing anything to them, but we're allowing everybody else to do this. This could be like the Dallas Cowboys going to play the Patriots this weekend. And, oh, because you guys have a rough season going, Dallas Cowboys, you get to have two more players on the field, but we're not going to do anything to you Patriots. You guys can keep running your same plays, same thing, keep doing what you're doing, but you guys get to have two extra players on the field, you know?
You know,
so it's unfair.
Well, I've heard that they have a plan B already in place in case this doesn't slow down Indian, in case Indian continues to win. And that is next year, if in case you guys do win out this next season, the year after, you'll be required to use the original Indian wrecking crew.
It'll be tough to find some of those guys.
There's two of them, and I know exactly where they are, and I've met them, and I've talked to both of them. I think they're ready
to
go.
It'd be hard to ask Jared to sit down, I would imagine.
Well, he'd be automatically become the race team manager.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm sure, again, this is a political issue for sure on all sides of the equation, Jared, and you guys are absolutely within your bounds to vocalize and express your opinions, again, given that the Indian did exactly what a manufacturer is supposed to do, give you the racer, the most competitive package. You then returned the favor and did what you're supposed to do, went out and crushed with it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the deal. Is Indian did everything right. They came in, they tested the motorcycle one prior full year before coming out.
Mm-hmm.
They went out and hired really good riders and mechanics and teams. They just did everything perfect, and, you know, hats off to them.
And we got your backup band waiting in the wings to play you off. Jared, we appreciate you joining us again. Congrats on another great year. 10 wins,
thanks,
15
appreciate
podiums.
It.
Outstanding work out of you, my
17.
Friend. What? That, no, 15 this
That's
year.
That's so last year. 17. He only got 15 this year. He was kind of sucking.
Yeah, you can follow along
poor
with
Jared.
The script here, my friend. Jared, thanks, bud.
Hey guys, thank you.
There we go. Jared Mees heads to the pits. Coming up, Davis Fisher is going to be joining us, AMA Pro Flat Track star. Won't you stay with us? This is Pit Pass Motor Racing Weekly.
Hey, this is Colin Edwards. You're listening to Pit.
Get ready, race fans, because the ultimate NASCAR experience is about to hit the airwaves. Welcome to Pit Pass NASCAR, the podcast that takes you deep into the heart-pounding world of NASCAR racing.
Join us each week as we bring you closer to the NASCAR action with exclusive interviews and all the news and rumors you need with your favorite drivers, team members, and industry insiders.
So whether you're a fan of super speedways, short ovals, or road racing, or you've just watched Talladega Nights, Pit Pass NASCAR is the podcast you've been waiting for.
Get ready to fuel your passion for NASCAR like never before. Subscribe now to Pit Pass NASCAR on your favorite podcast platform or head to evergreenpodcast.com and get ready to join us.
Launching in the fall on Evergreen Podcast Network, follow us on social media at pitpass_NASCAR to stay up to date with everything you need to know about the podcast.